What does it take to become a Broadway star? Let's find out with today's guest, Ryan Silverman. Welcome to another episode of Question Everything, where we connect young leaders with experts in entrepreneurship, publishing, and design. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with Ryan Silverman. Ryan is an actor and singer from small-town Alberta who currently stars as Billy Flynn in Chicago on Broadway. Ryan has co-starred in films and TV shows like Sex and the City 2 and Gossip Girl, and has performed around the world with international tours of The Phantom of the Opera, Mamma Mia, and Wicked. In today's episode, Ryan shares the story of how he began his acting career in Vancouver and how he learned to overcome challenges and stay motivated during the audition process. He discusses why it's so important to always keep learning and developing new skills and to put your best effort into everything that you do. So thank you so much for being with us today, Ryan. Now, you're originally from a small town in Alberta, and I'm wondering how a guy from Alberta finds himself in New York starring on Broadway.
It's several doorways had to open up to make that happen. And it was a long journey. It wasn't a straight shoot, that's for sure. It was also actually very accidental. I didn't have any plan to actually come to New York or the U.S. You know, I think when you live in Canada, certainly where I came from, Sherwood Park, if you get into acting, your first instinct is to say, well, I should go to Toronto or Vancouver, because ultimately that's where you'll be able to be a working actor, hopefully. So I did. I went to Vancouver. And then just through a series of somewhat accidental events, I ended up
Bad accidents.
Yeah, they were good doors that opened.
So what were some of the things you did? Did you study theater in university?
I did at Grant MacEwan University in Edmonton. It was called Grant MacEwan College when I went to it, but it was a two-year program, so it wasn't a university at that point. So it was 2 years, and you study acting and dancing and singing, and it's very intense, and you do shows. And then when you're done, you sort of go off into the world and try and become an actor. But I wasn't really convinced that that's what I wanted to do. I went into the acting program because I wanted to be in radio broadcasting, but my grades weren't good enough to get me into NAIT in Edmonton. And they said, well, if you have a performance background, it'll help you get in next time. So I went to this acting program and then got into NAIT. And so I did 2 years of acting and then 2 years of radio broadcasting. And then the acting thing was the first thing that sort of took off. So I sort of went down that route.
Was broadcasting something that you'd wanted to do since you were a kid?
Yeah, it was something that always interested me. And I guess it's about performance as well, you know. But it was my only sort of... I didn't have any influence in acting or musicals or anything growing up, but I listened to the radio all the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that sounds like something fun that I'd like to do. So that's really sort of what got the whole thing started and why I'm still acting now.
So when you went to university to study performance, were the people in your life encouraging?
They were. I mean, it started off with the intention of getting me into radio broadcasting, so my family had that sort of in the back of their minds. But when I did say, when I finished the acting program, I said to my parents, I said, I'm not going to go into radio broadcasting. I'm going to do the acting thing. And they were like, uh-uh. You're going to do the radio broadcasting thing that you set out to do, and then you can decide. And they were right. You know, they said, you can't just become an actor and have nothing to fall back on, which, you know, I guess you could agree with or not, but that was their decision, and I was still living under their roof at the time, so that's what I did. But once I did both programs, they were definitely open to me becoming an actor when they saw that I was doing it and becoming somewhat successful.
Mm-hmm. So when you graduated and went off to Vancouver, what were some of the challenges that you faced in getting your first jobs?
Well, I was very lucky in that I went to Vancouver with a job. I did this show called Blood Brothers, and it was in Richmond, and I can't remember the name of theater, but we went there. And so when I was in Vancouver and the show finished is when I decided that I was going to stay there and try and make a go of it. And ultimately I did very well, like for the first 6 months. Like I would audition for a show and I would get it, and I was like, this is so easy.
why is everyone not doing this?
And then I went through like a 6 months dry spell, and then like ran out of money, and I realized, oh yeah, this is what they talk about. I have to get another job. So it was definitely a learning experience, you know, and learning that you have to keep growing and keep taking class, and it was also my first realization that when you move to a bigger city that there's a lot more people who are a lot more serious about it that you are, and a lot better at it than you are, so you have to sort of step up your game. So it was good that you know, happened. And then I auditioned for the national tour of Mamma Mia, which I got, and that's what brought me to the U.S. And I did that for like a year and a half because it was the most money I'd ever made, and it was my first time traveling around the U.S. other than, you know, going to Disneyland with my family. So it was my first time getting to see all these U.S. cities, and it was great.
What advice would you give to young people who are kind of in a position where you were trying to make it through?
It's, you just have to keep yourself occupied, you know. Living in New York, it's a lot easier to do it because when you walk out your door, you're sort of in it. And you can go see shows, and you can get cheap tickets if you don't have money. You can do standing room, which I did, and still do, actually. But you can be surrounded by creativity. Mm-hmm. I found in Vancouver, the one thing that was difficult was, if I wasn't working, it was very easy to go to the beach or go to Stanley Park or go up to the Grouse Grind or do whatever that was not what I was wanting to do mm-hmm. for a living. So time would go by and I would feel myself sort of just not really connected to anything creatively. So the important thing is to just sort of, I remember teachers saying, when you're not working, just go to a coffee shop and read the newspapers or just write. You know, you don't have to write for the intention of selling or, you know, creating a movie or a TV series. But if you just write, it keeps your mind sort of in a creative process. So when opportunities do come up to audition or whatever, you're sort of already in it, you know? Mm. And that was great advice.
Did you follow it?
I did, actually. I did, because in Vancouver, I went through like a chunk. And I would go to the coffee shops and I would write, and I would write stories, and I would write screenplays, and it was just a way to sort of still feel creative, and it was definitely beneficial. And it's also you know, unfortunately in this business you have to spend money to make money. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to class, you have to, if you want to be in musical theater or sing, you have to take voice lessons, because if you're not, somebody else is, and then they're going to book the job. So, you know, those are things that you have to sort of, unfortunately, if you're not working, you have to work and then spend money to take the classes so that you can work.
Right.
That's just part of it. So you just have to be committed at it.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
You're listening to Question Everything on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with actor and singer Ryan Silverman. So was music something that you, because you weren't expecting to go into theater, and I feel like most people who want to start from a very young age in singing lessons and acting lessons,
yeah.
So is that something that developed later?
Definitely, yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't start, I mean, music was always something that I loved, and singing was always something that I loved, but I never really thought that it was something that I would do. And maybe because of where I grew up, I just didn't know anybody who did it. But I always sang with family. Music was always part of our life, and there was always a piano and singing around the piano. And so I always had a great influence of all kind of styles and genres of music. But the acting thing was not something I even considered. And I didn't really start even singing publicly until maybe like grade 12 in an a cappella group that I started with friends. And so that's my first, that was really maybe grade 11, I guess. That was really my first time singing publicly and going, oh, this is kind of fun.
What are some of your favorite things about performing for other people and singing and acting for an audience?
It's, well, when you're doing a show, the reaction that you get back is always the most rewarding. You know, if you can making somebody laugh, I think is the most rewarding thing. You know, you can get applause for a great song or hit a great note or whatever, but when you do something and the audience laughs, that is like immediately gratifying. But yeah, it's I guess it's also when you're singing I was singing something. I can't remember what it was. It was a really quiet song, but you could tell that the audience was completely listening. Nobody was clearing their throat. Nobody was coughing. And that's a real sort of gratifying feeling when you're doing something and you know that everybody is completely connected to what you're doing. And then when you finish, then all of a sudden there is this release and this great applause, and that feels really rewarding. But it's also fun to get to do something like that, sing a song and tell a story, and know that the audience is really going along with what you're telling them, mm-hmm. you know, and not just listening to the notes or a high note, but they're really listening to the words. That's a really gratifying experience when you get to, when you feel that.
For sure. I'm wondering, because it's always the audience's first time seeing it, but it's probably your 100th or I don't know how many right. times you've performed things before. And I always wonder how actors on Broadway and how they do it day after day and still make that connection with the audience.
I mean, it's definitely difficult, and I think it's definitely a learned thing. I mean, when I was younger, I would get bored. I was doing Mamma Mia, the national tour of Mamma Mia, and I got so immensely bored that I know the audience was bored of me as well, because I just wasn't good at refining it every day. But I'm used to performing for longer periods now, so you can find ways every single day, and it's very simple, of just sort of reconnecting with the person that you're acting the scene with. And it might be just giving a longer beat between words, and that can just sort of ignite a different sort of feeling or a different mm-hmm. tempo or a different, you know. You always want to have the right intention. You don't want to change it up entirely. But you do want to sort of not be bored, because if you're bored, then the audience is bored. So it's just little things, and it's just about listening. And the actor across from you might just say something differently that will affect you that you weren't even expecting. And so that's exciting. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, there's some shows where you do the show and you're like, yep, that was pretty much what I expected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important after you get into a long run, it's just to be really sort of in the moment, and that's sort of the hardest thing. But if you can focus on just being in the moment and really focus on what you're saying, then it's going to be lively and it's going to seem mm-hmm. real every time.
Have you ever had a disaster where you've missed a line and messed everything up?
Yes, definitely. I think my biggest one was in Chicago. I was playing Billy Flynn in Chicago, and it's an interesting role because, I mean, first of all, you have the orchestras on stage with you, and you stand in the middle of them, and you talk. But Billy Flynn, he talks. All he does is he talks, and no one else really answers. So he riddles off these long monologues, and I was riddling off this long monologue, and I completely went up. And I was standing next to the female lead, and then to my right was the conductor. And I had absolutely no idea what my next line was. And so I looked over at Roxy and I went, what is it? And she had no idea. She's been doing the show for years, but she was like deer in the headlights. And then I looked over to the conductor and I said, what is it? And then she's been doing it for about 15 years. And she was like, I don't know. And then suddenly one of the actors, because the actors sit on stage too off to the side, just yelled out my line. And I went, thank you. And then we continued on. But I had no clue. And it's those moments which I think are quite fun, because they don't happen very often. But when you just go up and nobody else on stage, even though they've done it for years.
Right, they can't even take over, improvise.
They have no yeah. idea what the next line is supposed to be, even though they probably do. But in the moment, they're just like deer in headlights, as was I. So that's probably my biggest one.
And did the whole audience know too?
I don't think so, because the character, he just talks. So the fact that I would go to the conductor and then yell over to somebody else, I have a feeling that they thought, oh, that's weird. But I don't think that they really knew that something tragic could have happened. Show stopping could have happened.
To be able to improvise is such a great skill. I'm wondering if you've been able to apply that to other areas of your life.
Oh, that's a good question. Like, how do you mean?
I guess just having that attitude of it's all going to work out. There's always a way to solve it. Even when everything seems to be going wrong, you can still pick up and keep going.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. And I think that comes more with just life experience you know, and realizing that, and especially being an actor, you know, that you're able to pick up and keep moving is something that you definitely develop. Because, you know, when you're acting and you're auditioning and you're auditioning and you're auditioning and you're not getting anything and you're not working, it can be very frustrating and you can just sort of give up and move on to something else. But I think that's more life experience of just realizing, oh, yeah, I'm still here. If I don't get this one, maybe I'll get the next one. Mm-hmm. And it sort of puts things into perspective a little bit more, you know, which, again, is something as you get older, you put life into perspective a little more and the little things mm-hmm. become much less important.
What advice would you give to young people who are going through audition processes or trying to get their first job or whatever it is?
I can't remember who I heard this from, but and it's so true, and I still think about it today. If there's an audition that I don't really want to do, I go and I do it just because it's an opportunity to act or an opportunity mm-hmm. to sing. Whether you're right for it or not, whether you get it or not, it's just about going into the room and doing your best job, acting as good as you can do that scene that they've given you, or singing that song as well as you can do it, because then you leave going, wow, I did that. I was able to do that. I did it as well as I could. If you didn't get it, it doesn't ultimately matter, because you did what you were supposed to do mm-hmm. as good as you could do it. And then it just benefits you every time you do it. Every time you do it, you get more comfortable. You get better at it. You get better at making strong choices. And that's important, because, you know, it's easy to go into an audition and go, I don't think I'm really right for this. And then you don't really do your best job, which doesn't behoove you, and it doesn't behoove you in any way, because you didn't do as good as you should have. And, you know, the people who are watching you, they may say, oh, he's not right for it, but man, he was committed, or man, he did a good job. I want to bring him in again for whatever
for
it is.
Else.
So it's just taking the opportunity and using it as an acting exercise or a singing exercise, and nothing more than that. And if you book it, great. But if you don't, then it was just an exercise that you sort of did your best at. And I think that's the most important thing that to remember. Just try and act or sing as best as you can every time.
We all know that the word jazz means many different things to many different people, so check out the real deal on The Jazz Show at CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for live streaming. Yours truly, Gavin Walker, is your host, and I guarantee the straight goods of 3 hours of jazz at its finest. The jazz feature that focuses on a concept, an album, or an individual artist will be heard at the beginning of the show every Monday night, right at 9 p.m., after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout, 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to Question Everything on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with Broadway star Ryan Silverman. Do you think that being successful as an actor or musician is a matter of luck, hard work, being at the right time, right place, or...?
It's definitely all of the above. More than anything, it's hard work, but it's also... you know, I think everything has to sort of come to it, you know, the triangle has to meet, meaning experience, talent, and hard work eventually comes together. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for different people, actors or singers find success at different points of their life. You know, I remember when I first starting out, there were guys my age who were like booking TV shows, and I was like, man, I can't get arrested, you know? but my singing was, I was doing well with my singing. But I didn't focus on that because that was fine and that was going well, my acting wasn't. What I should have been doing is just focusing on what I was really good at doing. And for me, it kind of came later where things started to really click together. Confidence and training and opportunity just sort of, for me, clicked, you know, a few years ago more than it did, you know, when I was in my early 20s. So it's just, it really is all of it. It is, because if you're prepared and if you keep doing as good as you can do, at some point, it's going to click to whatever degree. You're going to be more confident. You're going to walk into the room, and you're going to be prepared, and they're going to love you. Or you're going to be the right age, or you were too young. You looked too young before. Now suddenly you're right. You're perfect. You're in the pocket, and you're experienced, you know. So it really is all of the above that comes together at some point.
Do you feel like you were only able to understand that from where you are now, or were you always having that attitude when you were 21?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I think as you start to get a little older, you get a better perspective. And then it totally makes sense when you're starting out. You're eager, and if things aren't going, you get upset by it, and you don't know why you're not getting the job or whatever. But that's good, because that means that you're hungry, you know? Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have that kind of perspective when you're in your early 20s, because you haven't earned it yet. You know what I mean? So that's what's great about doing this and getting that kind of perspective is you have this sense of comfort in that you've come a certain way, and then you know what you're doing, and you do it as well as you can. But you're also able to put a little more perspective on life and other things that are important. You know, you're able to balance out your life a little bit better, which is, I think, an important thing to develop.
For sure. When you were younger, was there people in your life who really inspired you or helped give you a sense of direction and perspective?
Yeah. I mean, several people. And it's like, you know, not necessarily in terms of acting, but, I mean, you know, my dad was sort of the biggest influence on my life, and he wasn't involved with acting and singing at all. He was tone deaf. So, yeah, I had role models that sort of got me to different points, and then as I got older, I would start working with somebody else who I was absolutely fascinated by, or my first vocal teacher, Larry Benson, was sort of my first in the performance world that I was inspired by. He was a great teacher. He knew how to take what I was doing and make it work better for me, as opposed to, you know, trying to strip me down and rebuild to sing in a way that the books say you're supposed to sing. He had a better approach to it, and that worked for me, and it sort of set me on my way. So he was really one of the first people that sort of inspired me and gave me confidence to sort of keep growing.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your advice with us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Question Everything. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and each week we bring you inspiration and insights from creative minds and experts in entrepreneurship, publishing, and design. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can download the show at iTunes, SoundCloud, and at citr.ca.